All right, we're going to get started. So we have a lot of kids back there, so it was great tonight. So we're going to be tonight remember last week I talked about, I want to share some of my favorite passages of Scripture, and so tonight we're going to be in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. So we had a thank you for praying for our Monday night law enforcement Bible study. We had a great time. And a great Bible study. We talked about the providence of God and how God works even behind the scenes. Pray for me tomorrow as I meet with a few officers, and pray that God would open the door in that too. So I'm looking forward to sharing God's word and all of that. Also, I want to talk about faith tonight. And I want you to think about faith. And before we do, let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, as we look at this passage of Scripture from Hebrews chapter 11, Lord, it is the hall of faith. It is the men and women who walked courageously for you and for your glory. And Lord, it is a whole chapter that's filled with faith. And Lord, I pray that we might can have an inkling of the faith that these men and women had in our day and time, that we may walk by faith and not by sight. And Lord, tonight I pray that you would just reveal to us, as we pray often, reveal to us what we need to see and what we need to hear, that we may walk courageously in a world that's lost. But Father, at the same time, we may walk excitedly, knowing that God, you are still doing an amazing work, and you still are using your people to bring about the good news of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we always pray that if there's someone around us that don't know you, that they would come to know you as Lord and Savior of their life. So we give you all the glory and all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, if you're just joining us, Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. So let me ask you a couple of questions before we get started. And again, this is an open group. I mean, speak up, talk up. I want to ask you this: when is a time in your life when you remember you were exercising faith? I mean, it just really stands out to you. You just had to step out by faith. When is a time in your life that you just, it comes to you that you've just, a time that you just stepped out by faith? Huh?
Tithing.
Tithing, stepping out by faith, by tithing, trusting God in that. What else?
Jumping out of an airplane.
Yeah, yeah. I guess faith. Yeah. Could be something else too. Crazy. Yes. Yeah, I can see that. My wife reminds me often I married a truck driver, not a preacher. I was a truck driver when she met me. What else? The time that you exercise faith. I know we exercise faith all the time, but a time that stands out to you. Yeah, Bonnie? Yeah. Yeah. Amen. 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 A time when you exercise faith.
Traveling.
Yes.
I used to be scared to death. Don't go anywhere.
Of traveling? Okay.
I had to.
Yeah.
I
Right. Okay. All right. What else? A time you exercise faith and it stands out to you. Anyone else? Where's it? Yeah. When you had your twin boys? Okay. Let me ask you another question. When is the time that you can remember that you had lack of faith? I just didn't trust him. When is the time that you can remember that you struggled, that you had lack of faith in something? And it was all of you, but you knew God was behind the scenes working, but you just didn't trust him like you should have. Every time you worry, absolutely. Absolutely. Anyone else? Yeah. We think we know better, right? We think we know better. We know in our mind it's not better, but we think we do. Yeah. Any other? A time when you just lack faith. And the Lord just showed up and you thought, man. Anything else that stands out to you? I see some of you looking, thinking. Anyway, we're looking at faith in action here. We're looking at this whole chapter about faith and in Hebrews chapter 11. And I'll stop and pause from time to time. And in chapter 11, verse 1, it says, "Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance of what we do not see." This is what the ancients were commended for. Now, again, faith is the confidence of what we hope for. Christ is our hope. He is our only hope. And the assurance of what we do not see. You know, there are things that we don't see. And faith is trusting even those things you don't see, that you know that God is working. God is doing a lot of things behind the scene. That's what we talked about Monday night in our Bible study about the providence of God, how we talked about Moses and how Moses was on the backside of the desert and he saw this burning bush, and he had been back on the backside of the desert for years. He'd been running from God. He had killed an Egyptian, and in the providence of God, he called Moses to that mountain to give him a mission. Little did he know that he was going to be the man that was going to free God's people. And God had heard their cry in Egypt, and he had sent a man named Moses to go and free them. And when we look at the Bible, we look through the Bible, and we look at the people of the Bible, they were people of faith. But they're just like us. There's times in their life when they lack faith. But then there's times in their life where they were exercising faith, and God was giving them an extra measure of faith. Have you ever prayed, "God, give me an extra measure of faith. Extend my faith. Let me trust you more." And so Moses went and went to Pharaoh and says, "Release God's people." And we see that God destroyed all of the Egyptian gods. And on that last one, it was the death angel. And Pharaoh let them go. And they went out to the Red Sea. And I'm going to share, you heard this the other day, but I want to share this because this goes along with our lesson, is that now they're at the Red Sea and Pharaoh realized what he had done. He had let all his help leave. He was using them as slaves and they were doing everything. Now it's going to fall back on them. And right there in front of the Israelites was the Red Sea. Right behind them was the Egyptian army that was coming, and they were in a pickle. They were in a rock and a hard place. They had the sea in front of them. They had their past behind them. They were trying to get away from their past. And what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Well, whenever things don't make sense and whenever you think there's no way out, God will make a way. How many of you think that all those Israelites believed at that moment beforehand that God was going to free them through the Red Sea? No, right? I mean, never in their mind would they have thought that God was going to part the sea and allow them to cross on dry land. Their feet wasn't muddy. God opened up a way and they crossed. Now think about this faith. You're getting ready to cross in the middle of a sea. And up on both sides is water. And you're in the middle of this sea, and on both sides are water, you're thinking, I hope this water don't come down. But what they do? They walk through. All the way to the other side. God made a way. And so we see that there was that faith of Moses and the faith of his people as they went through. And so they were exercising faith. Now there will be times where they don't exercise faith, that they start grumbling in the wilderness and all of this, and God chastises that. But tonight we're looking at how we are to exercise faith and what we're to put our faith in, okay? So then in verse 3 it says, by faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command. So by faith, I mean, that is amazing in and of itself. You and I can only see what is around us. Can you imagine being on top of everything and seeing the whole world? I mean, God can see everything. Not only just the earth, but the expanse of the earth, the stars, the universe. He knows when every fallen star falls. He knows when every wave comes up on the shore from the ocean. He sees it all. It says, by faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command. Do you understand it? Do you understand it? You don't always understand it. But you trust in it by faith that God has said it, therefore it is. So if somebody comes to you and says, how did God make this world? You say, well, He spoke it into existence. How did He do that? Well, He spoke it into existence. We don't quite understand the full ramifications of it, but what we know is we believe it. If somebody comes to you and says, well, how do you know that you're saved? How do you know that you have the Holy Spirit of God living in you? Well, I know. I know, first of all, it's a promise of His Word, but also I know because He's changed my life. And there's no one that can convince me on the face of the earth that Jesus isn't real. Why? Because I've encountered Him. And I encounter Him every single day. He is not only a part of my life, He is my life. And so there is no one that can convince me any other thing, any other way. So by faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. Verse 4, by faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offerings. How important is it to bring the right heart offering to God? The right heart offering to God. Now, you can bring an offering to God, but is it with the right heart? Is it with the right attitude? Do you know that whenever you and I are to give to God, the Bible says that we're to be what kind of givers? A cheerful giver. We're not to be one of these givers that, man, you just don't want to let it go. I'm just having a really hard time. You and I are to be cheerful givers when we give. So we see here one of the halls of faith is Abel, who brought a better offering than Cain did. Cain would bring an offering that maybe he just used this for example, that he was bringing one of the animals to him, but it was a lame animal. I don't want to bring my best animal. That's for me. I'm just going to bring God my lame one. God deserves and desires the very best that we have. It would be like, what if I invited y'all over to my house to eat dinner? And I served y'all last week's leftovers. I mean, who does that? Who does that? Last week's leftovers. No, whenever you're going to come over to my house to eat, I guarantee you my wife is going to make sure that what you have is fresh. And she's going to make sure that it is the very best for you. Well, that is the same thing that whenever, and it doesn't even, let's just take money out of it. Let's just take that out of it. What about when you come to church? Are you bringing God your very best? Are you bringing your best attitude? Are you bringing your best heart? Are you bringing God all of you? Or are you giving Him just some of you? And that's why it's important that we are to bring God our very best. Verse 5, by faith Enoch was taken from this life, so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God, and without faith it is impossible to please God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So with faith pleases God. Why does faith please God? I know that's it's a simple, it's not a trick question. It's obedience to God. What else? You're trusting in Him. What else? That you believe in Him. We recognize He's able. We recognize He's able. I'm kind of like Carol sometimes. I fall into that too, Carol. We recognize He's able, but sometimes we feel like He might need our help. Or we feel like, you know, we fall into that many times. Is that full, complete faith? No. It's half faith. And so, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And then he goes on to say, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. Who earnestly seek Him. Now, what does that mean? Who earnestly seeks Him? In your best way of thinking about through this, what does that mean, who earnestly seeks Him?
Prayer.
You seek through it in prayer, talking to Him? Absolutely. You desire to know everything there is about Him, and you can't get enough of Him. You can't get enough of Him, that you want to know all there is about Him, and that you can't get enough of Him. And then in verse 7, it goes on to someone else. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he commended the world and became heir of the righteousness that is in keeping with the faith. Now, this story of Noah blows my mind. I mean, he gets a set of blueprints from God, and he's going to build this boat, and there hadn't been any water. There hadn't been any rain. There's no Kentucky Lake. There's no ocean there close by. And God is telling him to build this boat. Why? Because there's something that's not yet seen. You know what that is that's not yet seen? This rain that's coming. There is a rain coming. There is a storm coming. And God has told Noah to build this because it's coming. And just imagine this. All the neighbors around sees Noah starting this building project. And they're seeing it come up. And finally, they're saying, boy, that really looks like a boat. I mean, that is a big boat. That's not like a little boat. That's not a canoe. That is a big boat that's going to hold a lot of things. Why in the world are you building? And then all the neighbors come by and said, boy, you're crazy. What in the world's wrong? Can you imagine? You do something in your backyard and that's just out of the ordinary, people are going to start calling you crazy. And Noah continued on. Why? Because he didn't let people deter him. He continued to listen to God. He continued to follow God. He continued to believe God. And sure enough, when he was done with it, guess what? God brought the rain. And God brought the rain. And God brought the rain. And when they went all inside the ark and all the animals went in the ark, can I ask you a question? Who shut the door? God shut the door. Now listen to this. They were safe because they were inside the ark. Where are we? We are inside Christ. We are inside Christ and we were kept and God sealed it. And so the world and the elements and all of that, they can't harm you. Even though they were in the ark, the rains were coming, the floods were coming up, they were protected. Why? Because they were inside the ark that God told them to build. Whenever you give your life to Jesus Christ, not only does He come and live in you, you go and live in Him in the heavenly places. This is absolutely amazing. That He's living in you and you're living in Him in the heavenlies. And it's sealed. And there's nothing and no one can snatch you out of God's hand. You are protected by the one who's created everything. And then in verse 8, by faith, Abraham called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed, and he went. Get this. Even though he did not know where he was going. That's faith. You just go, and I'll tell you when you get there. You just go, and I'll tell you when you get there. What happens if somebody comes to you and say, "Hey, let's go." "Well, where are we going?" "Well, let me ask if I can go first. Let me make sure that we can get on the same page here." No, he gathered up all of his family, all of his herds, all of his flocks, all of this, and he took off and he went. What was he doing? He was trusting God that God was going to lead him to where he needed to be. Did he ask for a sign? He just trusted God. Many times we get in this situation, we say, "Okay, God, but I just need a sign. Okay, God, I just need for you to really tell me. Okay, if this happens, we need to sing all four stanzas of this song and not miss that third one. I need everything to align up in order for me to know that you're the one telling me." No, by faith, he stepped out. And he went. And when he went to a place that God had prepared. There's times in my life that you just have to trust God that it's time. And you just have to trust God that He is working in and behind the scenes. Let me just say this too. Because if you don't listen to God, God will get your attention. It's happened. God's had to get my attention before. You know why? Because I didn't quite fully trust that He was taking me where I wanted to go. But that wasn't what it was about. He was taking me where He wanted me to go. And so, wherever God is, I think it's Jack that said this many times, Henry Blackaby, once one of his famous sayings, just meet Him where He's working. Meet Him where He is doing. Is God working in the life of Waldo? Absolutely. Is God working in the life of your family? Absolutely. Is God working in missionaries all over the world? Absolutely. What does that mean? It means that God is working any and everywhere, and you are just to meet Him in the midst of where He is working and do the work of God, no matter where it is. No matter where it is. You and I are also not only to work within the body of believers here at Waldo, but we're also to work outside the walls of Waldo, because you are to go into your workplaces, you are going to the byways, you are to go everywhere you go, and you are to be a witness to Christ everywhere you go. It says, by faith He made His home in the promised land, like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with Him of the same promise. For He was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architects and builders is God. I mean, man, just think about that. God as the architect. God as the builder. I mean, He is building your life right now. He is building your life. This is Meredith. This is... It's okay. Hey, we love it. We love it. It's awesome. Cammy, I help you. So she's awesome. This is her first time here. And y'all know Meredith? It's Coach Hossman's daughter, Meredith. Yeah, I love it. I love it. I love it. You know, the kids are just kind of getting used to things. And it'll take a little bit, but I love it. Anyway, where am I at? Where am I at? Okay. All right. Well, I'll find where I'm at. So anyway, verse 10. For He was looking forward to the city with the foundations, whose architect and builders is God. And by faith, even Sarah, who was to pass childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered Him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and the countless as the sand of the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for the better country, a heavenly one. Can I ask you a question? Are you longing for heaven? It's going to be a whole lot better in here. It's going to be a whole lot better in here. There's a song, Beulah Land. I'd sing it for you if I knew I wouldn't butcher it. Beulah Land. That's as far as I'm going to go. But anyway, just think about that heavenly home that's already ours, and He's building it for us. There is our home that's going to be in heaven. Let's go on down to verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, what'd God do? God what? Tested him. What'd God do? I want to make sure that we got that. God tested him. Okay? God didn't tempt him. He didn't tempt anyone. But God tested him and offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He had embraced the promise, was about to sacrifice his one and only son. Do y'all get that picture? He loads up his son. Just him and his dad, and they're going to offer a sacrifice, and they're going along the road, and all of a sudden the son asks the dad, said, "Dad, I just have a question. Where's the offering?" "Just come on, son. Just come on, son." They start getting closer to where they're going to be, and he's asked again, "Dad, where's the offering? Come on, son. Come on, son. God will provide." And when he got up there and had his son laid out, his son realized what was going on probably at that time. And when he drew back, God stopped him. And there was something rustling over there in the thicket, and it was a ram. He trusted God. He knew, he had already told him that he was going to be the father of many. And I just happen to believe that if he took his own son, he believed that God was going to raise him from the dead, because God already told him that he was going to be the father of all nations. And then God provided a ram in the thickets. And what was that a picture of? God providing us Jesus. And God crushed His Son. God didn't pull back. Do we think about that? How grateful we are to be that we are living by grace of a Father who took His own Son so that we may live, and His own Son willingly gave His life for all. I mean, this is the Christian life. This is what we live for. This is what we long for. And He did that to redeem a people to Himself. And I've said this all the time, and I hope you remember this forever. He did for us what we could not do for ourselves. He died a death that was meant for all of us. And Jesus is the only one who could have done it. According to Revelation, He is the only one that can open the seals. And He did that for us. Abraham reasoned that God would even raise the dead. And so in a manner of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. Let's just move just a little bit further in verse 23. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born, because they had saw that he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. Man, can you imagine that? That Moses' son was raised in the Egyptian family. He was placed in reeds. Can you imagine a mother taking the son and placing him in the river and walking away? I mean, yes. You're talking about a mother. But what that mother knew is they were going to kill all the children. She was going to go to great lengths in order to save it. But here's God in His providence. Sent the king's daughter, was it king's daughter or wife? I can't remember. Daughter, that's what I thought. The king's daughter down there at the same time and saw this baby. And the mother of the baby gets to raise her own son and get paid for it. Isn't that awesome? God orchestrating all of that behind the scenes. Not only that, got the best education in the land. By faith, they knew that God was going to take care of their child. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Even if God does not spare us, we will not bow down to your God. Because if He doesn't spare us, we're with Him. It's a win-win. It's a win-win. If I die in the furnace, I'm with Him. If He wants me to live, there's no way that flame is going to hurt me. And the Bible says that it didn't even singe the hair on their arms or on their head or their eyebrows. They come out smokeless. You ever thought about that? They come out smokeless. And when they looked into in that flame, they saw one who looked like that of the Son of God.
Man,
this is good stuff. This is good stuff. If this does not excite you, Aaron, I don't know what does. And so let's go on down to verse 30. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the army had marched around them for 7 days. Blows me away. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. She risked her own life to protect those spies and the walls of Jericho. I mean, just think about that. They marched the army around them for 7 days. I mean, I bet they thought they were crazy. Had the army going around, marching, playing. Next day, they did it again. Next day, they did it again. About that time, I'd probably give up because I thought, man, they're crazy. They marched around and they marched around on the seventh day. What? They defeated them. And by faith, you wonder if they ever thought, man, what are we doing? No, they marched around. They believed God. They trusted Him. And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, and Jephthah, about David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions and quenched the fury of the flames and escaped the edge of a sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. There were others who were tortured, refusing to be released so that they might gain an even better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawed in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins and destitute and persecuted and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, living in caves and holes in the ground. These were all the commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised, since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race that is marked out for us. This is personal. This is individual with you. Run your race that's marked out for you. Look at the ones who's already run. They blazed the trail, and Jesus was the first one to clear the way. And so our race isn't done. Their race is finished. There now is in store for them a crown of righteousness. You and I are still running our race. Make sure that nothing gets in the way of your running. Make sure that you guard yourself from those things that so easily entangles you. And the sin. These are two separate things. Busyness of life can entangle you. Worry can entangle you. There's all kinds of things that can entangle you. But then there's also the sin that wraps you up. Make sure that you run lightly in this race. Don't put your roots down deep into this world, because this world is passing down. I know your home may be your address, but that's really not your home. That's where you reside. That's where you tent. Our home, is it 100 Gold Street, heaven. And heaven wouldn't be heaven if it weren't for Jesus. Jesus is what makes heaven heaven. Hell is what hell is because it is the absence of Jesus. And so, our home is in heaven for those who have put their faith and trust in the one who died for them, named Jesus, our Lord. So I hope this is encouraging to you, as it is encouraging to me, because we can get beat down from the battle of everyday life. Just go back and read the ones of faith. They live just like you. This goes against every church that preaches a prosperity gospel. I mean, they went through trials.